This is Life Talk, where we tell it like it is. Life Talk is motivational, helping you get to the next level in life. Life Talk is educational, to broaden your knowledge. Life Talk is inspirational, to get you fine-tuned to start doing what you love doing. Life Talk, sponsored by CamerEducation.org. And here's your host, Marietta Kammerer.
Hello and welcome to Life Talk with Marietta. I am your host, Marietta Kammerer. Life, as we know, is a continuous movement. We expect certain outcomes of our actions, and it is just not happening. And it is true, if we do the same things over and over again, we get the same results over and over again. Many people give up and retreat back into their save way mode of not pursuing anything anymore. I say not so fast. You owe it to yourself to find out, to know what and why it did not work. You must go the distance. You started it. You must finish it. You must end it. Let us look at areas as to why things are not working out and also be ready to be totally honest with yourself that it could be you that needs to learn a little thing or two, yeah. As long as you're willing to be open and take directives, your life can be changed in a heartbeat with our help. Why are people failing? It's not because they lack knowledge or talents, but they just quit is our topic. Our Julie Winter psychotherapist is joining us around 7:35 to shine a light on intimacy, and how can we have a positive life with a negative mind? That just doesn't work. So my guest tonight is Bob Waters, a businessman and entrepreneur. Good evening, Bob. How are you?
Very good. Thank you, Marietta. How are you doing tonight?
Good. I'm glad I have the opportunity to talk to you tonight and talk a little bit about what you do, what I do, what we do jointly, how we really mm-hmm. help people. Mm-hmm. And we really need to let people know our experiences, because we're rich of experience. But you know what? Let me just give our engineer the sign that we're ready to rock. We're ready to start.
You're asking me to say, living life without you, girl, he's all right. If you really want to know, I'd have to say it's dangerous to my mind. So before you turn and walk,
good evening. You just tuned in to Life Talk with Marietta on WICC 600 AM and also 107.3 FM. Our topic tonight is, why are people failing? It's not because they lack knowledge or talents, but because they just quit. Bob Waters has 25 years plus experience helping business owners, and well, with my 35 years, I'm a little older, 35 years of business experience, we can talk about a thing or two and give some solid solutions. So in our first segment, we're going to talk about how we are setting ourselves up for failure and we really don't know it. So, Bob, I'd like to bring you in. And what has your experience been?
Well, failure comes in many different ways, and sometimes it can lead to better things if you at least pick yourself up and don't let that failure stand in the way of trying again. As you mentioned, though, you want to try again in a different way, not the same repetitive way over and over. But I would say the number one thing is just trying to take on too much as an individual or even as a couple if you're working with your spouse, and trying to take on too much when your expertise is in one area, but because you don't want to necessarily hire or can't afford to hire a whole staff, not seeking any additional help and trying to go at the entrepreneur process all alone. And that is probably the number one reason people just don't quite make it, is because you can't be the accountant and the marketer and the salesperson and the developer or creator of whatever it is you're selling and try to wear all those hats and be successful. A very small percentage of people can succeed on their own. The vast majority of people need support teams, need people that can bring different ideas to the table, and also let the person know, hey, you know, yeah, I know you heard about such and such idea, but we've already tested that, and all it's going to do is spend your money and not get you any results. So with experience, when you're working with experienced people, they can help guide you around pitfalls and situations that could harm the business or set the business back, which then can further discourage the person from trying to continue. And so the number one thing is to have a good team around you and not try to just do it on your own.
Right. Not too many people are in a situation where they can start up with a team. And I'd like to briefly talk about, let's say, the finance industry. You have individual brokers. They certainly cannot start off with a team right away.
Right.
People that have been in other businesses as a business owner, they're a little ahead. They have a little more money that they can spend. But somebody who just came from corporate and they say, I'd like to try it in the finance world, they have to really learn to be the idea person, the marketer, figure out the concepts, find the clients, and that and learn how to sell, learn how to present. And that really takes a full-fledged 5 years to master that if you really want to. So
I would say at least that long.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree.
Now, in those 5 years, you just don't make any money. You just, I hope you have a cash cow somewhere in the corner you can keep drawing money from. That's what most people do. And but in 5 years, if you really work at it, you can master that. But you know what I was thinking, Bob? Many people also overestimate themselves because they really don't have a background, and they say, oh, I can do this. And in reality, they really don't understand what it's all about. And they have not the slightest idea how to go about it, but they would never ask. And they would never pay for it either. They would never pay for consulting help either.
And that's really what it comes down to, is they can't afford a full-time staff, but they do need to find a way to afford a consultant that can guide them through the navigating just starting a business, who to talk to, how to get your business license, how to set up your bank account, all these little different ins and outs that on their own would take them months to try to figure out. And then at that, they'd probably miss a couple of steps in there and something wouldn't work out. So it's better to, when I started my business, I was still working my previous job. So I was obviously working a lot of hours, working my regular 40-hour job, and then coming home and learning how to build websites and teach myself marketing, online marketing, and all those things back in the late 1997 era, back in that time. So doing those things there's a sacrifice that people have to give in order to get the reward, again, be it 2, 3, 5, 10 years later. You have to give, there has to be a sacrifice in the beginning, unless you just, you know, you have a couple hundred thousand to get the staff and the office and just make everything work from scratch. But most people don't have that ability. They want to start a business with $5,000 or $10,000. And while it can be done, it just takes a lot more work. And it takes a little longer.
And it can be done if you have had previous experience. It just takes a little longer. But a lot of people then say, well, my accountant can help, you know, with the setting up the books and the bank account. You can get that information through your accountant. But here's where most people fail, and where most people are just, you know, it just doesn't work. Client development. How do I get new clients on a continuous basis? And a lot of people, and it just doesn't work today anymore, they say, oh, well, referral. Well, you can hang that up. It's 2022. We have 4,000 people on Facebook and Instagram. And you know, I like to, that's all wonderful. How much have you sold on Facebook by having 4,000 or on Instagram, 9,000 people? That's the key. It's not, you know, that people see you. Hey, you want to ask for the sale. You want to sell. And a lot of people don't know, no matter what industries, they have a problem with winning new clients. I don't care if you're in the service industry, whether you're an attorney, a doctor, or a restaurant, and how you communicate with the people through social media, number one, but let's put social media aside, putting up your shop, your website.
Right.
And that is the key. That is the key. Go ahead, Robert.
Absolutely. That's the first first thing people usually look at is the website, and then second, they go to social media. So your website is your silent salesperson, is there for you 24 hours a day. And we have a client that we recently revamped their website, and while it hasn't brought in all the clients yet, a service that he applied for to basically further his business, when they saw his website, they were so impressed with his website that was one of the key factors that allowed him to get into the program. So sometimes the website isn't always about, you know, your customer, your visitor. Sometimes there's other people looking at your website, somebody who might be interested in financing your business or collaborating with you. And if you have an old, outdated-looking website, they're not going to pick up the phone or send you an email. But if you have a great-looking 2022 mobile-friendly and everything website, then, you know, not only are prospective clients that will want to do business with you more, but there could be other people looking at your website, be it maybe a magazine that's looking for a top 10 of such and such an industry, and they come across your site because you've done well with SEO, you've done well at building your site, you're going to get picked for that nomination and that honor, whereas you wouldn't otherwise. So there's a lot of things that people don't factor in that leads to success when you have, you know, a nice looking website. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, and I have come across a lot of rags in apostrophes. I really have. And I let people know, too. Hey, Mr. So-and-so, your website needs a haircut. Well, what do you mean by that? Then I go into details. Yeah,
absolutely.
And I say you need a haircut. You need a haircut and a coloring, too. A coloring.
Right. Sometimes.
But the latest.
Absolutely.
That's right. And the latest style. Now, I like to switch just a little bit, and I like to give four scenarios of individuals. Here's my famous story of the mechanic who was a brilliant mechanic, was employed for over 20 years, and he finally decided to become self-employed. So he was drawing money from here and there, you know, to put the business together. It cost him a pretty penny, almost $1 million. So, and he started the business, hired three more mechanics. And within 2 years, he went down. And why is that? No, those are all real stories. That I modified it a little bit so nobody would feel, oh, yeah, I'm talking about them. I modified it. But you know, the core of it is all the same. So why did he go down in those 2 years? He failed because of his hostile communication with his employees and his customers. People hated him. The employees hated to go and see him every day, go to work, because he gave them a feeling they were not good enough. He was the only one who could really. He was the, you know, the big shot. That's a terrible feeling when you work for somebody day in, day out, and you feel that.
Absolutely.
That's terrible, you know.
Right.
Also, the customers. The way he talked to his customers, the customers said, hey, I don't need that. And they stayed away.
Right.
And you know what? Lack of caring and lack of acknowledgement, what he needed to change. And it was his own personality that killed the business. So we're going to go for just a quick music break. We'll be right back. Hold your thoughts, Robert.
Yep.
Why people are failing, and it's not because they lack knowledge or talents, but because they just quit. My good friend Bob Waters is with me tonight, and we were just talking about that people are setting themselves up to fail, knowingly, unknowingly. I was just giving the story about the mechanic. He was brilliant, but he failed because his lack of caring and acknowledgement, what he needed to change. His personality. It was within his personality. So, and of course, after that failure, he blamed everybody else. I mean, with his personality, you wouldn't expect anything less. Also, the music teacher, teacher to youth and adults, really good teacher, not doing well at all in her business with new clients. Problem is, can't take directives. Does not look the part as an artist. That's, you know, that's a very, very big thing. You got to look the part when you work with people. And she also looks very bitter. So I personally would not take lessons from her. That's sad. That's very, very sad. And I noticed that when she does speak, she's talking about her divorce and really questioning why she should work. Now, how can you run a business like that? Because people pick up on that, Robert. It's just, I keep calling you Robert.
Absolutely.
You know?
It's okay. Yeah, absolutely. The caring for the customer is really, giving customer service is really the key to business. You know, and has been for the last at least 20 years or so. A lot of corporations have made a lot of strides to make sure their customer service is as good as possible. But there are times in individual businesses when the boss isn't necessarily the most personable person that there can be issues. And it is a chief reason why businesses fail, because if the employees don't like the boss, or at least respect the boss and understand if he is tough sometimes, but not over the line, then they're not going to perform their job well. And if they don't perform their job well, then, of course, in a mechanic shop, you're going to have a lot of complaints. And then if he doesn't take care of the customers, of course, they're not going to give him referrals. And, in fact, they'll probably tell people, don't go to that guy down on the corner. You know, he's a jerk. So bad news spreads faster than good news when it comes to how you deal with customers. And some people, you know, just aren't in a position to necessarily be the customer service person, or in the case of the musician teacher, if she's not a personable person, then she probably is not, in my opinion, a good fit for teaching. She should find something else to do, but if she's going to struggle in her business if she continues with, like you say, personal things. Really, in a business relationship, you should keep your personal and politics out of the conversation, because there's just really no place for it, and you're doing business with the person. You're not, you know, trying to get to be their best friend or anything. So you want to keep it to business, because otherwise, like you say, Marietta, it can, people could pick that up and not not respond in a positive way.
Yourself first. Yeah, you sell yourself first. And no matter how hard you try to hide it, it does not work. It shows right through your conversation. Again, your website, what you're talking about. When you have conversations with other business owners, it just really, really shows where you're at. You're behind the eight ball. That means you're not up to date mentally. You're not up to date mentally. And it's unfortunate. We have a lot of people out there, and they don't want to be, they don't take directives. So, unfortunately, we can't help them. We can help a lot of people. But people should recognize and should respect when you are an expert in one area, then listen. You might learn something. It might really change your life to the the better. Also, I want to ask, how important do you think having a healthy support system within a family unit, one the lowest, 10 the highest, you know, when we grew up? What do you think?
I think it's important, but people that have a low support system usually find other ways. They'll find friends or other mentors. And if they're a strong person and they don't find any of those things, they'll figure it out on their own. It just takes a little bit longer. But, you know, for the people that have a non-supportive home life when they're young, they generally tend to not then take the risks and the chances of starting their own business. They just stay in their 9-to-5 job and hope they don't get fired before retirement. And for me, that's really the saddest thing, is being stuck, you know, or feeling like you're stuck in one business or one career, when we live in the greatest country in the world that gives us all the opportunities that we want. We just have to seize them. And maybe it's not something, you have a dream of building a business, and sure, it might not happen next week or next month, but if every week or every month you start putting things together to make that come true, eventually it is going to come true. But if you quit or you just give up, then, you know, it's never going to come to fruition. And again, for me, that's the saddest thing, is people's unrealized dreams, because there are so many brilliant people in this country from all walks of life and have so many things to offer, but yet they're tied down to this 9-to-5 job or having to have a certain security, which is understandable when you have kids and a family. But at some point, if you want real success and freedom, the key is to take a step towards that, even if it's slow steps over time. Nobody's saying to quit your job.
Right. No, I say start now while you still have a job with the coach, with us.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Take step at a time, but working toward a goal together. So we do
exactly.
not allow you to quit, but
exactly.
we need you to be honest with yourself and say, okay, here, those are the experts. You know, I believe in them. They can bring me from A to B to C to D. So that you need to believe in. So, and
right.
you should, everybody should start now while they're still employed, while they still have income, things are okay and so forth.
Right.
And I learned in life, you got to have two tracks. When one track doesn't work anymore, you might
right.
get laid off. A company went overseas, who knows what. We have such fast changing times. You'll have to have something immediately to jump into. And but you have to give yourself, you have to prepare yourself, and you have to take action. That's the bottom line. That's the bottom line. And going back to the support system, not everybody has had a support system as they grew up. And for people like that, it's very, very tough to get through
mm-hmm.
life, to find their path. Very, very tough, but it is possible. And
absolutely.
Many times you have to change environments. You have
mm-hmm.
to get out of that old environment.
Absolutely.
That energy where you had the same, where you can't blossom. You can't even breathe
right.
in that environment. You need
right.
to leave.
Yeah,
and, you
it's
know,
like a plant trying to
exactly.
grow in the shadow. You can't.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And Bob, I bet you anything, a lot of people grew up that way. And you know what? We have, as we get a little older, you know, we start learning a little bit about this. We start building our skills. But then we should really get into our talents. Our talents are there. Everybody has talents. We're brilliant.
Absolutely.
But not everybody gets to dig them out. Where they say, oh, I paint, you know, I do this, I do that, but I don't make any money with it. What the heck are you talking about? Give yourself a chance. You know?
Right.
Give yourself
Absolutely.
A chance. Because there are steps and there are layers that we
mm-hmm.
have to work in order to get to that point where the person takes out a check and says, here, I give you $500 for your pain. It takes
right.
steps, certain steps, and nobody is exempt of it. And layers.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
And it's, as long as people know what to expect, how that path looks, we can give them a total vision of how the path will look in the layers.
Absolutely.
So,
exactly.
And then
that's the key.
Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. people always say, well, I don't know what to expect. Now, wait a minute. Sit down with us. Sit down with us. We'll tell you exactly what to expect, you know, in the first
exactly.
layer, the second layer,
mm-hmm.
the third layer. It's like going and keep
right.
going around the track, you know, at
absolutely.
High school.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Right.
Because you
know? We
and,
know the path and we can guide them down that path, whereas for most people, they're just stumbling through the forest, you know, and not really on a path. And so that's what we can help the most, is to make a clear path and to follow that path.
Exactly. And do never be afraid of investing money in yourself, ever, ever.
Right, right.
I mm-hmm. have an enormous amount of money invested. It took me 5 years to learn the marketing, gaining clients, learning how to
mm-hmm.
obtain clients. Learning how to sell, learning how to market, learning about all the various industries. And in 5 years,
right.
I wasn't making serious money. No, it
right.
came later. And I was in that
right.
industry for 18 years. That's
exactly.
right.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody
yep.
has to pay their dues. It is possible.
Yep.
But folks, I would ask you, give us an email, info@kmareducation.org. That's spelled K, just like Kmart, without the T, kmareducation.org. We can help whether you want to get into business, expand your business, or you're an individual. Very, very important. So I'm going to go for a quick break, and very shortly, Julie Winters is going to be on with us. and she's going to talk about her book and also about intimacy. Very, very interesting. So stay tuned, and we'll be back in a moment.
Welcome to Julie Winter's World. Julie, well-known internationally as a brilliant psycho-spiritual therapist, channel, astrologer, and author of DancingHomeBook.com, available on Amazon. Julie is sharing her gifts and talents, answering your questions in times of economic stress and uncertainty. Welcome, Julie Winter.
Good evening, Julie Winter. How are you?
Good evening, Marietta. I'm fine.
Great. We love to hear what you brought with you tonight. Love to hear it.
Okay. Actually, this evening I'm talking about intuition. Next week I'm talking about intimacy, so it's a good advertisement for next week.
Oh, okay. That's great.
The scene is a hospital in New York. Serena is the central
character in my book. That's right.
And she has gone to the hospital to work with her client, Anton, who has AIDS. And this is in the time before the good medications arrived. As Serena breathes with Anton, she can sense her guardians around her, guiding her, protecting her. Sometimes they are distant, but now they are close. Distinctly present. She welcomes them, following the images that unfold about Anton's condition, emotionally and physically. Perhaps she will be able to discern the movement of his spirit, his essence. And she listens to the inner sounding of his body, deep interior streams of sound, all kinds of sound, from the shivering fall of rain to the ancient booming of ocean depths and the hissing of fire that describe to her the functioning of his physical self, her intuition. The images might be like dream symbols, torn ribbons, overflowing goblets, a bird's bright wing, or moving colors. Although she has been working this way for many years, and has complex ways to interpret what she perceives, it is always new. Sometimes fragile and shaky, other times bold and clear, sometimes eloquent. The whole experience is both familiar and surprising. Paradoxically, the comparative fragility or boldness are not themselves indicators of the accuracy of her interpretation or her perceptions. It is risky business, she thinks. Serena does not speak yet after she has tuned in on Anton, but releases the images and sounds, sliding into the purely pleasurable part, opening herself to streaming love, vast and impersonal, supremely intimate. It moves through her and merges with Anton as the dark falls silently beyond the windows and the hospital bells continue to ring and ring. So there was something about intimacy in there. Everyone is born with intuition. As Marietta was saying earlier, everyone has talents. Mm-hmm. In this culture, we do not readily recognize intuition, cherish it, train it. There is much research that has been done, much more in the past 15 years or so, about intuition. There are other cultures where intuition is really part of the cultural understanding. Children are very intuitive. If you've ever been around children, sometimes it seems as if they're reading your mind. So intuition, as a natural human ability, comes to people in different ways. Some people get images. And we even have, in the common usage in English, we refer to intuition without ever training it. I have a gut feeling. I had a flash. That would be something you see in your eye. I have a hunch. Something tells me that such and such is going to happen. So, some people are attuned most to images. They'll get a picture of something that's an intuitive picture. Some people are tuned mostly to feeling, kinesthetic. You know, if you walk into a room of people who are angry, even if they're not obviously having discord with each other, if you tune into your feelings, you can feel the anger in the room, or you can feel peace and happiness in the room. So some people channel their intuition through their feelings. Some people hear things. My joke with my students is, anyone ever gives you a psychiatric evaluation and asks if you hear things, tell them no. They'll hear a word of guidance, go in this direction. Oh, call so-and-so. Mm-hmm. Wear the red dress to the suit, to the meeting, red dress to the meeting that you're going to. Some people just know. No, there's no picture, there's no voice, there's no sensation. It comes through what we call the crown chakra, which is that point right in the middle of your skull on top of your head. The information comes through there, and they just know, I should go right on this road. I should turn here. When I start to work with people and train them, I always ask first what their main mode of perception is, because just like intuition, people perceive the physical world. Some people are intensely visual. Some people are intensely kinesthetic. They feel things. Some people are auditorily attuned. They collect information through hearing things, and some people just know what they want to do. So intuition, when you recognize it and train it, is an extremely practical tool to guiding yourself. And then, of course, if you're going to train it, you have to test it. Oh, well, here's an intuition about calling this person, and it worked out really well. Another time you have an intuition about taking a certain step, test it out. Do not, as you were saying before, do not give up your day job. See if it works. The only way to really understand it is to identify where your talents are, and it's helpful to have a teacher or to work with some group of people who are more skilled than you are. begin to notice them, because often we, you know, it goes right by. We got the information. Sometimes someone will say, oh, I knew I should have done that. I knew I should have done that. And they did know, but they didn't do it. So to notice, oh, I'm getting some intuitive information about this. Let me understand it more fully and then use it and test it. See where it takes me. And probably, yes, Robert, go ahead.
I agree 100% with everything you say there, Julie. Thank you so much for all that information. Because, yeah, there are a lot of times where our gut tells us something and then we ignore it. At least for me, if I ignore it, something bad always happens. So I've learned to not ignore that little voice, so to say, that just says sometimes, you know, don't do that today, or just wait, you know, or whatever it may be. So I can attest to that. And I think everybody does have a little bit of different intuition. But here in the West, so to say, we have been kind of taught to suppress it when I think we should listen to it more. You know, everybody needs to listen to that inner voice, I think, a little bit more. Absolutely.
Yes, exactly. And often when children display intuitive abilities, you've ever been walking with a child in the street, you meet someone. Mm-hmm. The parent is talking to the person in the street, and the child pipes up, I don't like that man. And of course, the parent shushes them. But the child would really be picking something up when my goddaughter was a little girl. She looked at her mother one day, this is intuition and beyond, and said, do you remember when I was your mother? This is intuition plus reincarnation.
Sure.
And her mom, who was knew a lot about intuition, said, I don't remember. Can you tell me more about it? And then she couldn't. But if parents pick up on a child's intuition and ask them about it, well, that's really interesting. Tell me more about it. Or do you want to do a drawing of it? If it's encouraged, and if the parents are fairly knowledgeable or willing to learn, then it flourishes.
Absolutely.
If you're shut down around it, then you stop noticing. Not noticing, you don't take advantage of it or train it. And it can be trained in the same way, you know, you may be gifted in music and you need to take music lessons.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, there is a natural talent, but every natural talent needs to be honed and improved on with practice. Absolutely. And definitely intuition and just being able to read those subtle signs, or say when you walk into a room, you could sense the energy, whether it's a good energy or bad energy, and being able to hone that skill is very important. I mean, I guess in the last, how many of our 50 years, they just teach us eyes, ears, nose, you know, you can smell, hear, see, and touch, but then that's that. But through my years and experience, I know there's a lot more to our reality than just what we can see, touch, and feel and put our hands on. There's a lot more out there, 100%.
I like to share how I work with my intuition through thought, feelings, and dreams. I pay really, really attention to that. So the thoughts that just come in random, they're in. And they're like, I know I was thinking about something else. No, it's almost like when you're in front of a computer and one of those ads come in. Sign up for the newsletter. And you don't really care about signing up the newsletter. That's how the thought feels when it comes in, it pops into my head. That's number one. And of course, the feeling, the gut. My gut is so sensitive. So, and I work with this all the time. And the intuition is our lifesaver, our compass. And it never lies. That's the nice part. It never lies to you. And it's the moment you override it, you get the opposite of what you wanted. And I've tested it too. No, and don't talk it nice. Oh, it's not. It's really not that bad. And they're really nice. And they're no. Accept what the intuition is telling you and move on. Next, it's true. It really is true.
Yes.
I have overwritten it many times, and I said no, not again, no more.
And you're always sorry, right?
I was always sorry.
Mentioning dreams, I didn't mention dreams. Dreams are one of the great intuitive sources because we are not guarded in dreams. If we haven't learned to use our intuition consciously, worked with it, identified it, maybe trained it, it will come through people in their dreams. The great psychiatrist Jung did an extraordinary amount of work with dreams and with intuition, and actually he was an astrologer as well. Wow. You can learn to get intuition about your body. I work with a wonderful doctor who always asks people before he diagnoses them, even if he has the information, what do you think is happening in your body?
Well, dancinghomebook.com is really the place to go to find out about Julie Winter. And I'm sorry, Julie, we're out of time. We got to go for a break. And we're excited to see you again next week with us, 7 to 8 on Tuesday. And we'll talk to you later. Thank you so much for making yourself available tonight. Thank you, Julie.
Thank you so much. Good night.
Yes.
All right.
Thank you, Julie. Wrapping it up just about. We have maybe 7 minutes left in our program. And you know, Bob, why people are failing, it's not because of the talents, I believe that, and the skills, but it's really about the personal education, how we think, what we believe. And we have the natural talents, just like our Julie Winter said, our psychotherapist. We have the intuition, and we need to cultivate ourselves, our belief system, everything that we have. It's not just about learning something new, learning this, learning that. No, but it's also how we tick, you know, how we how we can function. The most important thing, and this is how we can help people. Not just, hey, learning. In the past, we learned how to type. In the past, we learned how to do this. No. Today, it's personal development. That's what it's all about. And going back to the mechanic, the story that I was saying, brilliant man, could just give him a little motor, sound of a motor, and he could tell what was wrong. But that's how good he was. But he failed with his people skills. This is what I'm saying. He lost everything. He lost everything. Right.
And he probably turned into be a very, very bitter person. Because right. If you're not honest with yourself, you need to know your strengths and your weaknesses.
That's
very, very important. Mm-hmm. And you do need a coach. You need mm-hmm. people like Julie Winter, like Bob mm-hmm. Waters, like myself, mm-hmm. Marietta Camera. We've been in business for a long time. Yes, we're mm-hmm. on air. I've been on air for 15 years. I purposely pick different topics and have professionals on that can talk about personal growth and so forth. And I know we have moms and dads out there. We have grandparents, aunts, and uncles. If it's not mm-hmm. for you personally, it might be for your child or for your granddaughter. This is for everybody, and no matter mm-hmm. what age,
right,
Bob.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter what age.
Right, because whether you're starting a business or, you know, their kids just trying to get through school, there's a lot of tips and tricks and techniques that a coach can give them that they're not going to get from a teacher or a boss or a partner or something. And that's where I think, you know, somebody like us can really come in and help and cut through a lot of the red tape and get right to, you know, how to become dedicated, how to follow through, how to make a plan, how to surround yourself with good people, and then things will start to follow and fall into place.
Yeah, how to follow through. That's the biggest thing in people.
Mm-hmm.
To continuously work on something. Very, very, mm-hmm. I have 2-3 lists. We don't even have enough time for me to even mm-hmm. mention it. But I like to tell everybody, invest money in yourself to become what you should be, or allow your children or your mm-hmm. wife, your husband, allow them to get ahead in life. And you need people's skills. This is why I have all these different topics. And people say, we don't need that. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Because at some right. point, you will need somebody in your life, and you just won't have that in you. That's mm-hmm. when you will find out, you know. So, and it costs money to develop and expand the mind, talents, and skills. So, like everything else, nothing is for free. And it starts with little steps, but you have to make them. And it's easy when you have a coach. It's really easy. I'd like to give our website again. Write to us, info@kmareducation.org. It's spelled like Kmart without the T, kmareducation.org. And set up a 90-minute consultation. People like Bob Waters, myself, and also Julie Winters. Boy, Julie has been for 40 years. She's been in her business. She has helped mm-hmm. a lot of people, you know?
Yeah.
Just like to tell everybody, and we have a couple of more minutes left. We're back next week, 7 to 8, and with the topic, Say What You Mean and Mean What You Say. Building trust in relationships such as romantic partners, business operations, family life, politics, medical practices are fundamental. So it's true. It's really mm-hmm. true. Say what you mean and back it up with action.
Absolutely. And yeah, that's always been my motto. One of my mottos is say what you mean what you say. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. Bob, you and I have been working together 5 years now. Was there mm-hmm. ever a time when I say something, or we did a brainstorming and I have not followed through? In other words, I have not created the project and then we worked on it?
Absolutely not. No, it's usually by the next day before the sun can go around. It's already in motion and already halfway completed. Yeah, so...
And
absolutely.
You know what? You're such a great soul, and not just with me, but with everybody, with all of the people that you work with. You're like that. You make yourself available, and it's never, she's calling again. Oh, he's calling again. No. You're just a very special soul, too. Creative, knowledgeable, and I love working with you, and I know you love helping people, and so do I.
Mm-hmm.
But,
exactly.
You know, we have to take people by the hand, and it's okay not to know everything. I don't know mm-hmm. everything, and I don't need to know everything. If right. I want to know something, mm-hmm. I find out. So, mm-hmm. but what I do know, and when we take action, the train starts now, and the train is leaving, and it's stopping for nobody.
So exactly.
That's it, you know? So
exactly.
You can't be a dabbler in life because you have a lousy life. You're dissatisfied right. with everything, you know? So you really got to, you know, stand up, you know, dust yourself off and come to us. And I know I'm drumming tonight, but I really mean that because I've never done that,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Right.
So, and it's okay. Mm-hmm. People need to be invited to come and get our help. This is what I'm
Absolutely.
Doing. Bob, I want to thank you tonight
thank you.
For making yourself
thank you,
available.
Marietta.
And
Absolutely.
I promise you, I will not call you with anything after the show. I'll wait till tomorrow morning.
No problem, Marietta. Enjoy your
thank
evening,
you.
And thank you, audience.
You too.
Everybody for listening. Okay.
Thank you, audience. See you next week. Good night.